Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
New York, New York, big city of dreams. And everything in New York ain't always what it seems. You might get fooled if you come from out of town, but I'm down by law and I know my way around. Too much, too many people, too much.
Ever get the feeling that New Yorkers are just steeped in the right to butt in? They'll tap you on the shoulder to say you've got a crumb on your face. They'll tell you the best train route to take when your line is getting repairs, or not, whether or not you ask them. Maybe a complete stranger once told you a harrowing tale of her battle with cancer, all in the time it takes to cross the street. Yes, these are your neighbors, people, whether you like it or not. But is the attitude of the quintessential New Yorker, that in-your-face, nagging style, some people might describe it, actually rude? Well, New Yorker staff writer Joan Acacella has been thinking about what makes a rude New Yorker and what makes this reputation, and it's the focus of a recent piece that she wrote for the Smithsonian Magazine. Hi, Joan. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi there.
So what do we mean by rude?
The Smithsonian entitled my piece, "You Got a Problem with That?" But I'm not really sure they're rude. What I talked about in the piece, and I guess maybe I did say this is how they got the reputation for being rude, is that they're more familiar. It's just like the examples you just gave. They bring their private life and their personal thoughts, their opinions, into public.
More familiar.
But also more confiding, more informal, and I would say more candid. I was thinking as you were talking of a beautiful example which doesn't have to do with being corrected, but I was in a restaurant the other day with a friend, and my friend ordered the cucumber soup that was on the menu, and the waiter said, "We don't have any more." And my friend said, "Don't you even have just a little?" And the waiter said, "The cook just dropped the whole pot on the floor." Now, I don't think that in another city the waiter would have ended the conversation that way. It was funny, it was confiding, and of course it took care of my friend's problem.
That is pretty funny. And you have the anecdote in your article of how people on the bus will say, "I have the same handbag as you. How much did you pay?"
Yes. Well, how much did you pay, as I think all New Yorkers know, is something that one tends to be asked in New York. I'm not sure that New Yorkers are cheaper, but if you say to any of your friends, "I just got a new mattress," they will almost automatically say, "Where did you get it and how much did you pay?"
And listeners, call up. Are New Yorkers rude? If not rude, would you use a different word, like familiar? How about people who've lived in different places? How about some of you who are transplants to New York? Are New Yorkers rude, and is it a bad thing? 212-433-WNYC. Call us on the air, 212-433-9692. Even on the last day of the pledge drive, we will never ask you for money when you're talking on the air. Though we hope everybody calls the other number and pledges too. 212-433-9692. Let's talk about this rude New Yorker stereotype with New Yorker magazine writer Joan Acacella, who wrote this up for the Smithsonian. And actually, Joan, you yourself are not a native New Yorker. You're from California, right?
I didn't come here until I was in my mid-20s. I grew up in Oakland.
So was there an adjustment period based on the kinds of things you're talking about?
You know, there still is.
Really?
I still am sometimes surprised at the questions that people will ask me. And of course, it took me a while to get used to being called sweetheart by, you know, the guy in the deli. That didn't happen in California.
It's taking some women time to adjust being called that by Barack Obama, but that's another story. I don't know if you heard about that incident with the journalist last week.
No, did he call her sweetheart?
Yeah, he called her sweetie. She didn't like it.
To me, that's a little humorless.
Anyway,
they are more familiar. They do. I've asked a lady on a subway where she got the fur headband she had on. She told me at length.
But you also say that the folks who move here are pre-selected to be more high-strung and ambitious. And I think we all know that about immigration in general and people who move to New York in particular. But how does that contribute to the rude aesthetic?
Well, I'll tell you, and this may be a long chain of connections, but here goes. As you just summarized, the people in New York are not a representative selection of Americans. Number one, there's the question of immigration. I mean, you know, there's a town in Mexico, and the family decides, listen, one of us has to go to El Norte to work. One of the brothers is going to say, I'll go, and the other brothers are going to say, you go.
Mm.
And the brother who says, I'll go, is very often the more energetic one, the more ambitious one, maybe the more intelligent one. And that's who we get. I don't know whether you know, but a lot a famous essay by E.B. White called Here is New York. It's in his collected essays, a 1949 essay. But he says people come to New York for a reason. They have a reason. They're not just sitting still. And that this makes New York especially vibrant. In my opinion, I think that's true, but it also makes New York more noisy, more bossy, more electric in a certain way.
That was the essay that Hillary Clinton referred to in her original Senate campaign in 2000, running, you know, and she referred to it to identify as a New Yorker. And George Pataki disparaged her for knowing who E.B. White was. Do you remember that? Because he said it was elite that she knew who E.B. White was. That's one of the great political moments
in
our lifetimes.
Well, that's our George Pataki. What can I say? No, I think it's probably the most famous thing that's ever been written on New York.
She's not elite anymore. Kara in Sunnyside, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kara.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to say that I'm originally from New York and have lived here most of my life, and I had the misfortune to spend 5 years in Boston. I mean, I enjoyed going to school there, but I discovered that there are no more ruder people on this planet than the people I met in Boston, and I think it had to do with how homogeneous the neighborhoods are up there, because people would absolutely not say hello to me. I lived in a neighborhood for 5 years where people would not make eye contact with me or say hello, and now that I'm back in New York, you know, it's like David Letterman says, New Yorkers are friendly. Just walk out on the street and they'll touch you.
It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. I mentioned in the essay the business that, have you seen this in the subway? If somebody, particularly if they have a map and look like an out-of-towner, if somebody looks confused or actually asks somebody else for directions, other people will hover nearby hoping to get a word in and to be the ones to help.
Right. And you talk in the article, and Kara, thanks for the Boston story, you talk about New Yorkers largely having more public lives than other Americans. The rest of the country dons what you call that social smile when they're in public, whereas New Yorkers could care less.
The have a nice day glaze. We are, as any New Yorker knows, we are more thrown together with each other.
But we have something else. I think we have a different kind of public face, a kind of eye-averting civil blankness that lets 200 people be in a subway car together without being socially overwhelmed.
Yeah, I think that's true. But I noticed in the subway and on the bus yesterday, I sat down and the woman next to me, you know, one sits very close to the other person. She leaned down and moved her umbrella, which was on the floor, out of my way. And I said, thanks, and you know, sort of made a hand gesture to indicate she didn't have to do that. There are these little tiny politenesses, these little tiny accommodations that people make to each other. It's true that on the subway, they'll either stare straight ahead or more often read the newspaper. But when somebody enters the subway with a stroller, they're always, I mean, if you're in the subway and a woman has to bring a stroller down the stairs, there's always instantly three people who will take the other end of the stroller and help her carry it down the stairs.
Yeah, and there are lots of little rudenesses along the way, too, though. People take two seats, they fall asleep on you, and there's a little devil-may-care attitude about all that, don't you think?
Those people are always with us. I mean, you know, there is average human rudeness and selfishness.
Jonathan,
and it's not just the two seats. The kids on the subway are way too noisy.
Joan Anchicella, New Yorker writer, my guest on WNYC. Her article in the Smithsonian is about the, I don't want to say myth, but the reputation of the rude New Yorker. And Jonathan in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jonathan.
Oh, hi. I would just like to characterize it not as rudeness, but as aggressive friendliness. That I grew up on 121st Street, and you as a defense mechanism and as a way to get by, you learn to be very outgoing and somewhat aggressive, but it's a friendly way. So you avoid fights, you avoid conflicts, and this has worked for me as I've traveled in various different parts of the world. In Moscow, for example, a few years ago, someone tried to mug me with a long knife, and I just came on so strong that I just backed off.
Good for you.
New York. This is New York attitude, and you mean nothing harmful by it or aggressive in a negative way, but it's a survival. We're all people on this planet. We all get along. And if you compare that to attitudes in suburbia, where there's no crowd, there's no people around, so then the teenage kids can sort of are left on their own. There's nobody to sort of supervise and look at what they're doing. So there's no danger. So they take dangers. They take risks that are above and beyond what I think a New Yorker kid would do.
Yeah, I grew up in a suburb, and that was very true. It's amazing how little oversight there was. In New York, I mean, I think the central point in my article was in New York, you never lack oversight when you're out of the house.
Anne in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. We heard a Boston story. I think we're going to hear a Chicago story from Anne. Hi,
yes,
Anne.
Hi. I grew up all over the country, having been born in New York, moved back in 1980. But my husband and I spent 2 years in Chicago, where people were super friendly, and you'd meet them, and they'd always conclude the conversation by saying, "We'll have to get together for a barbecue. We'll have to have lunch." There was very little follow-up. And I thought, well, we had a wonderful time, but we moved back, moved to Brooklyn, and I quickly concluded that Chicagoans are friendly without being intimate, while New Yorkers are intimate without being friendly.
Whoa, what an interesting way to look at it. Let's digest that for a minute. John, what do you think about that? Chicagoans are friendly without being intimate.
What was said to me by someone from Seattle was that people in Seattle are nice without being kind, and people in New York are kind without being nice.
I miss the New York attitude. The pizza delivery was always a Chicago college boy in shorts, even if it was 30 degrees out. And when I moved back to Brooklyn and ordered a pizza, I got a kid who came wearing a shirt that said Goodfellas Stickball Team, and his girlfriend was sitting in the middle of the front seat of the car he left running. And I had told him to ring the bottom bell, and he went down the stoop to an unused bell. So when he finally figured it out and I answered the door, he said, "When you say bottom bell, you got to say up the stoop bottom bell."
That's a very beautiful example that I wish I'd had for my article. And but it's so typical.
Thank you very much. Jillian in New Jersey, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jillian. Where in New Jersey?
Hi, Landing.
Okay. What county? I don't know Landing. What county is that?
Oh, it's actually the southern tip of Lake Hopatcong.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How tiny is that?
Tiny?
Your town?
Yeah, I guess so. It's part of Roxbury, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm calling because I came to New York a couple months ago with my mom, and we had a bunch of things to do, and we had my little son who was just under a year and a half then in his stroller, and I was literally blown away by how incredibly helpful people were at every turn. Like, it wasn't just an isolated occurrence. It was like every single time we approached a door, an escalator, a stairway in the subway or anywhere else, like any time we moved, people were like, "Oh, can I help you? Oh, let me get the end of that. Oh, let me hold the door." And we just, it just so struck me that I kind of lost track of time, and I haven't done it yet, but I wanted to write a letter to the New York Times to say New Yorkers are nice, you know? We were just really, really struck by it.
Thank
so
you.
It strikes me as, like, maybe there's so many people there that there's this aura of standoffishness, but actually when people have the opportunity to be nice, they are. That's all I can think.
Jillian, thank you. John?
Yeah, I think there's one other thing, which is that people walk so fast. particularly in the subway. It scares people who are not from New York that there's that the traffic is flowing so fast. And they feel they might get knocked down. Also, can I say, I think sometimes they're jealous of us. We have a very nice city.
We'll get to the heart of the matter with that, huh? The jealousy. All right, let's see if we can sneak in. Well, you know what? I'm going to put two callers on together because Randy has another Midwest comparison from Long Island, and Kim, also on Long Island, is originally from the South. Right, Kim?
Yes.
And Randy, are you there?
Yes.
So bring the South into this.
Well, you know, the South is the polite capital of the world, and what you find is you get a lot of the everyday niceties, people saying hello, how are you, but not necessarily meaning it. And number one, I don't find that to be the case in New York. You don't get a lot of the niceties, but it goes back to the comparison before where people are intimate without being kind. But the other thing is the efficiency in New York. If I'm going to wait in line at a Starbucks, I want it to be in Manhattan, not North Carolina.
Why?
Why, Kim?
Do things move faster? Why do you want the...
Things move faster, absolutely. And I don't necessarily, if someone's not being out-and-out rude, which New Yorkers are not, I don't think out-and-out rude, but they are more efficient in the way they go about things. So if I'm standing in line and there's a long line, I don't want the five people in front of me to be having these sort of polite conversations, just the everyday niceties.
Passing the time.
I want to get on about my business.
Man, you are tough. And Randy on Long Island, what were you going to say about the Midwest?
Hi, well, actually the whole country, you know, what I think, because I've traveled a lot, and I think that if you look at New York and the early turn of the century immigrants that came here, culturally you're talking about very demonstrative people, the Jews, the Italians, the Irish, and what I think that's just stayed that way, because if you go to the Midwest, they're very, you know, I met somebody once in a city that said, I moved to this town when I was 5 and I'm still considered an outsider, that it's a very closed, I mean, the people will be nice, but
out there. But here you think people are faster and more of in a hurry, but will accept you as a New Yorker, as a transplant.
Well, I think out in the Midwest and whatnot, I think, you know, culturally you're talking about people, you know, we keep our emotions in, we don't share, you know. Here, the first word out of your mouth is, who's your therapist? You know, what medication are you on? You know, in the Midwest, you know, look at the movie Ordinary People from way back when. You know, that is a Midwest, keep it all inside. And New Yorkers just let it all hang out.
Kim, in a way, has the last word by being the former Southerner who is now a New Yorker and doesn't care if people are nice to each other on the Starbucks line. She just wants it to go fast. So, Kim, thanks a lot. And Joan Acocella, thank you very much. This has been a lot of fun.
And thank you back. It is fun. Thanks.
Joan Acocella, New Yorker staff writer, has this piece about the rudeness reputation of New Yorkers in the Smithsonian Magazine. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay tuned.